be with you. I can't think it's a year since I was here, but the weeks and months go by so quickly, don't they? Are you, can you hear me all right? Do I need to adjust this? Is that all right? I left Tom to select most of the songs apart from the end one, and he actually picked one of my favourites, that last one. So, well done, Tom. Thanks very much. Yes, perhaps a little bit of an atypical reading this morning from Proverbs, but sometimes you read a passage of Scripture and just something sort of speaks to you, which you feel is from God, and that's why I want to share from this passage. Proverbs is very often about getting or gaining wisdom, and it's something that we desperately need today. Wisdom to know what path to take, where to move to, the direction that our lives take. We need wisdom. And I'd like to begin by telling you a little story about an Indian farmer who was very poor, lived out in the sticks, and he had a beautiful daughter. But unfortunately, through one or two seasons, the crops they were able to raise were very meagre. And over a period of time, the farmer ended up having to borrow money from a local unscrupulous moneylender. Eventually, he found himself deep in debt with no way to pay. So one day the moneylender came and he said, "I tell you what I'll do." He said, "You give me your beautiful daughter for my wife and I'll cancel all your debts." Which of course horrified the farmer and his daughter, but there seemed no other way out. So they pleaded with the moneylender and he said, "Okay, we'll let Providence take its turn. He said, "What I'm going to do is I'll collect two stones from the path, one black, one white. I'll put them in a bag, but your daughter must pick one out. If she picks the black one, then she'll be my wife, and the debts will be cancelled. If she picks the white one out, I'll let you go debt free." So this seemed, at least they had a 50% chance of getting out of debt without being married to this man. So the day came when they were going to do this challenge, and all the villagers gathered round to see what would befall the farmer and his daughter. The moneylender collected two stones from the path, but the daughter realized and noticed he selected two black stones. She wondered what she could do. Could she call him out as a cheat? But then he would probably take his revenge on the farmer and have him thrown in prison. So she stepped forward. She put her hand in the bag. She clasped one of the stones in her fist, brought it out of the bag, and then, on the path, she let the stone fall, and it got lost on the path, and nobody saw what colour it had been. "Oh," she said, "forgive me, Mr. Moneylender." She said, "I'm so clumsy, but I tell you what, let's look in the bag and see the colour of the other stone. And then we'll see what stone I picked out." Well, in front of all the villagers, he couldn't confess the way that he tried to cheat. So, because of the wisdom of the daughter, they were able to go debt-free. And wisdom came to their rescue. I'm going to just run through this chapter very quickly and not pause too long. But I love this from verse 18. "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn." Now, I don't know if many of you are up in time to see the dawn. It depends what time you rise in the morning, but I see it very regularly because I have a dog who likes to be out early. So he wakes us up, and very often I'm out before the crack of dawn. But very often as I walk across the fields, I look over to Cleve Hill and very often see the first light breaking through as the sun comes up, if it's a clear day and clear night. And there's something very special when that first gleam comes over the top of the hills. It's almost as if God is saying, this is the promise of the day ahead. The start of the day when that first sun begins to rise. And I think this passage is saying that the righteous are like that. When the righteous come to the forefront of society, it's a promise that life will be better, life will be honest. The kingdom of God, it says, is righteousness, justice, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And so the kingdom of heaven represents the righteous in society. But I want to get right to the heart of this passage and the one verse that really I felt stood out to me and that God challenged me on. And that so is, we're going now to verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And this is our focus, I think, for this morning. What does it mean to guard your heart? Well, as we all know, the heart is the major vessel or organ in the body, which brings life by pumping blood to all parts of our body. But in this instance, the heart is really the what's known as the core of our being, because from the heart flows everything else that we do. It guides our thoughts, it gives us motivations, it helps us make decisions, it produces desires and attractions. Actions and conversations come from the heart, feelings too. But you know, the heart is also sometimes where a battle is fought. The battle to do good, the battle to serve God, or the battle to sort of follow the flesh. And sometimes a battle rages as to which way to go. And Paul, in fact, talked about this, didn't he? He talked about the things that he should do, he didn't do. And sometimes the things that he shouldn't do, he did. And this battle was raging. And sometimes it rages within us. And I think we see this very often if you look at the parable of the sower. We see that the sower scattered seed. And some fell along the path. And the people who were like those seeds on the path were unable to guard their heart, they dismissed it, and the evil one came and snatched it away. And other things as well took people away from God, as we read in the parable of the sower. Life's troubles, when persecution and difficulties come, or sometimes the deceitfulness of wealth can prevent our lives from being fruitful. And it's in the heart that this battle is fought. Shall I be obedient to God, or shall I just do my own thing? So to prevent that, to help us do the right thing, we need to be watchful and not let our guard down. Because if we let our guard down, we can leave ourselves vulnerable to attack from the enemy. Now, David and Jean know, I'm going to talk about my dog for a moment, because we have a cockapoo at home, and he's great to have around, but his arch enemy lives 100 yards away in the form of a vicious Alsatian dog who attacks any dog that's in his range. And unfortunately, it's owned by an old lady who If she doesn't close her gate, it escapes on a regular basis. And if it escapes from its house, where does it go? It comes to get Monty, my dog. And so we've had to regularly close. We have a big gate at the entrance to the house. And we have to keep that gate closed, which is a bit of a pain every time you drive in and out, opening and shutting the gate. But it can't get over the gate. It can't get to our dog. But, of course, one day, we forgot to close the gate. And the dog happened to escape. The Alsatian came looking for Monty. Thankfully, Monty was in the house, not in the garden. But I can tell you that a thin pane of glass was between the two dogs, ready to do battle. The problem with Monty is he thinks he's three times as big as he is. So he's willing to take him on, unfortunately. But we didn't close the gate. And we left ourselves vulnerable and open to attack. And really, guarding the heart is keeping that gate closed and not giving the enemy any foothold. And I think more than ever before, today, we need to be watchful. We need to have our defences in place. And just in life generally, we get, I'm sure most of us do, get regular spam calls. We get fake emails. We get fraud on so many levels. Somebody spent £300 on my credit card last week. How they copied it, I don't know, but thankfully the bank spotted it. But we need to be aware and we need to have our defences in place. And of course, there are so many other things that can draw us away from God. It's so easy, isn't it, to have it now and pay later. And we see it also in the church, sadly. We've had so many safeguarding scandals in the Church of England particularly, or the other denominations as well. But the Church of England has been through a terrible time of the last few years. We've seen the Archbishop of Canterbury having to step down because he didn't do the things that he should have done. We've seen the Bishop of Liverpool, again a guy who had a prominent position but failed to protect his heart and was led to do things he shouldn't have done. We've seen Stephen Cotterill, who was supposed to be the next Archbishop, also wrapped up in some scandals. And what picture does it represent to the general public when they see matters like this going on within the church? It's a terrible witness, isn't it? And recently I was looking at some stats, which probably stats are not always good to look at, but the Church of England particularly are really struggling if you look at the numbers that are attending. And did you know this, that in the synod the bishops have actually been told to go back to their parishes and manage the decline? There's no plan to see revival and to see God move. Go back and manage the decline. So, I'd like to just list now 10 things. I'm not going to be long this morning, but 10 things that we can do that might help us to guard our hearts and keep our defences secure. How are we doing for time? I will just say one thing. A couple of weeks ago we had a guy from Newcastle came to stay with us, lovely, known him years and years, and he came to us just to stay overnight. He was doing some work in the area, and he told us a really sad story where he promised God that he would, when he eventually got married, he would only marry a Christian person, a Christian lady. And unfortunately, he was telling us that his wife had lost her faith, gone completely away from God. And the trauma that he was having to, he's made the promise to stay with her, but completely lost her faith. She let her heart not be protected. And what a trial and what a tribulation. A guy who committed his way to God, to follow the ways of God that he was shown. And what tragedy it's brought to that relationship and that couple. So, a few things that we can do to help protect our hearts and keep our defences secure. There are some obvious ones here, perhaps some not quite so obvious. But Ephesians 6 describes the armour of God. And it helps us to protect our heart, the breastplate of righteousness. The second thing is found in our passage in verse 25. It says, keep our gaze looking straight ahead. Don't look to the left or the right. And there we're encouraged to keep our gaze on Jesus. The discipline of spending time in prayer daily can help us keep that intimacy with God, which will help to protect us. A lot of churches, and our own church, in fact, began this year asking everyone to go on a 3-week fast. Now, this was left up to you particularly what sort of fast you did. Some took it very seriously. Others just cut out things like chocolate. But fasting is something that Jesus encouraged us to do. And certainly over those 3 weeks, it was amazing at the end how God had reached into people's lives and spoken to individuals and brought things about. And something happened within my own family, which I'm sure wasn't a coincidence, because it came in the midst of those 3 weeks when we were fasting and praying. But those sort of daily disciplines can really help us. And then the next one is to be careful what we expose ourselves to. Now, as we're surrounded by all sorts of programs on the TV, social media, and much of it is great, but there are things that really are not helpful for us to watch. I began watching one series with my grandson, and the language was just appalling. And I said to him, we're not watching any more of this. We've got to draw the line at some point. And social media, again, we can get caught up and spend a lot of time with things like that. But I took the decision to delete one of the social media apps, because it was producing all sorts of things which were not helpful, and not helpful to protect my heart from those things. The Bible, I'm sure David and Jean remind us regularly, is a powerful weapon to hear what God is saying and to imbibe its truths. Just one more is to cultivate a thankful heart and find contentment in what we have. We have an incredible lady at our church called BJ. She comes every week on a Sunday morning. She's brought by her carer, and she comes in a wheelchair, and she's literally unable to use her limbs. She operates a chair by sucking on a tube. An incredible lady who always is thankful and always content and always has a beautiful smile, and yet she's so bound by needing help and never really gets out of a chair. Sometimes we ask people how they are, and their reply is, well, under the circumstances, I'm just about getting through. Well, let's not be under the circumstances. Let's raise ourselves above them and be thankful and content. And I'm probably the worst person because my wife will tell me if I've got a bit of a headache, I'm not great to be with. But we need to look and cultivate a thankful heart that reminds us that for most of us, we've got a lot to thank God for. And then the next one, the great thing is when it comes to protecting our hearts that God doesn't leave us without any help. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's there to help us and resist an enemy activity. Next one is to sometimes when we're maybe struggling with something or problems we do face in life, it's sometimes good to activate the incredible power of worship. To just listen to some worship music can lift us and help us in our struggles. We've got two more. Have we got any people who keep regular journals here? Like to keep a little notebook. Sometimes, I'm not always good at this, but journaling is something that can really help us as we go through life. And we maybe write down, it doesn't have to be every day, but just write down things that we've found helpful, that maybe God has spoken to us or something's happened that really blesses us, to keep a note and just write it down. And then sometimes it's good to look back and be encouraged when we see how God has helped us. It can help us process pain and disappointment, but also it reminds us of the many blessings that we've all received from God in the past. And the last one I've put down is to, as we continue our journey of faith, it's good sometimes to be able to share our problems, our temptations, and our joys with other people. To have someone that we can confide in, somebody we can chat things through with. And by doing that, it can help us move on and protect us from getting weighed down or not really protecting ourselves from things that come against us. Psalm 86 says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and give me an undivided heart, a heart that follows Jesus, and a heart that wants to serve him and please him." Well, I'm going to close by doing something that I've never done here before, and you wonder what I'm going to do or say. Well, a few weeks ago, I had a friend who is my old pastor from way back when I lived in Lancashire, and he had a little time of prayer with me, and he felt God say to me through him that I should try and write certain things down and try a little bit of poetry. So I've written a little poem which really just sums up what I've been trying to say. So here we go. "To guard your heart and seek out wisdom, we're urged to pursue, to abide in God's kingdom. Many pitfalls await. It's so easy to slip when defenses are down and we lose our strong grip. Our foe often lurks, just biding his time. He longs to see our spiritual decline. Remember, we face a battle each day. Wear the breastplate of righteousness as we enter the fray. Stand strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Observe the victory won. What a wonderful sight. For we're not on our own. We have an advocate on hand. He has the supremacy. It's together we'll stand. But remember this truth as we play out our part. The importance each day of guarding our hearts. Shall we pray, and then we'll finish with our closing song. Father, we thank you for the wonders of Scripture and the wonderful teaching that you have brought to us through that incredible word. And we thank you for this book of Proverbs, which has so much to encourage us and so much to teach us. And Lord, we live in days which has so many distractions that can draw us away from following your paths and for obedience to you. So Lord, we pray that you would help each one of us to guard our hearts, to resist temptation, to do those things that we know are pleasing to you, and to shun those things that we know lead us away from you. So Lord, I pray that each one of us, by the help of your Holy Spirit, would keep our defenses in place, that would help us to guard our hearts so that we can follow you and bring glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So our closing song is Light of the World.